Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
Speaking of this time, this dark, challenging time, why do you think our generation, our people living in this time, is calling this the end of time?
Maybe we can start with the definition of this term. Because I think when a lot of people say end of time, end of the world, end of the age, they're actually referring to the end of the physical world. I think when we look in the Bible, we're talking about the end of a generation or the end of an era and the beginning of a new one.
So the only way that you can actually know is if prophecy is being fulfilled. But the only way you know that is if you know the prophecies.
That's why I said that's scary. Because yes, whoever wrote it obviously is not where or when the prophecy is going to happen. And sometime in the future, you also don't know where or when that, he was talking about us.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Narrow Door Podcast. I'm Sam O. This is episode number 167. And today, I really feel the need to stress that this is episode 167 because our guest on this episode has been with us on episode number 40. 40! Yeah!
Whoa.
That was about 2 years ago. But before I introduce her, let me, go ahead and introduce the usual suspects. Of course, Tina Ryan is here, Instructor Aaron Russo, who is the Rose Among the Thorns today. He is instructor from New Heaven and New Earth Shinshoji Church of Jesus. Our guest today is a very good friend of mine. She is a host, an actress, both on stage and on screen. She is also the force behind the company One Lit Corp, which is a training service company for hosting, public speaking. She's basically taking her craft and turned it into a business. In short, she is girl boss, and she's here. Issa Litton. Come on in the narrow door. Hi, Issa.
Thank you, Sammy. What an introduction. Hi, Tina. And of course, hi, Instructor Aaron. Hi.
Yeah. So what is this I hear about you and Tina? I mean, we've all been in the same industry for some time now, but you guys never actually physically met.
Isn't that true? So funny? And we work on the same projects, just different time frames. So, and even in the same country, we're flown out. And it's so funny, I never met her.
Yeah,
like briefly waved at her in Bangkok because she was like rushing in her long gown.
But now that you guys actually get to talk to one another, it's still online. It's like so close yet so far, But anyway, welcome, Issa. Hi.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you're back, and I know you're very busy. Have you been through, the 2 years that, I saw you a few days ago, actually. So we've caught up.
You already know the cuento.
Right. But, Issa, I think you're one of those people who managed to stay super busy, even throughout the pandemic. Tell us how it's been like for you the past 2 years that you haven't been on the show.
It's, again, going back to sharing your skills. You actually said it perfectly in your intro. I transitioned very, very well online. And in hosting online, most of my clients are like, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you know what to do? So modules, that's why One Lit Corp actually started in 2019. It was passing the torch, managing and training future hosts. And now I got at least 4 female hosts. I have a couple more, like some male, I don't want it too big. But then yes, I've replicated hosting skills, passed it on, because no one will ever be me. So you have your own unique personality, but you have the skills necessary to host. It is a skill. It's not a talent.
My big takeaway from what you were saying earlier was I think you said, no one is going to be me. And I was like, wow, we all need to put that on a post-it and put it in the mirror and look at that every day.
My mantra tomorrow. No, it's going to be me.
Yeah. Right. Oh my goodness. But Ys, I mean, you're not only a host, you're an actress as well. And you do quite a bit of it. I mean, you do stage and you did a TV
film,
show.
TV series, Teleserie.
Right? Yeah. I mean, of all the things that you do, which one do you enjoy the most?
Now it's really acting. I'm not gonna deny, I've always wanted to be an actor. at the beginning of at my early 20s, I got to the point of, you know, the star magic thing that you're in front of a certain, at that time, it was Mr. M still. And it was that level that you're just that final cut. But I was like, I like my freedom. So, and I know what it takes to be in that kind of circle. But I love my freedom. That's why, you know what, in my journey as a host, I've hosted for all channels, except at that time, the two big ones, which is ABS and GMA. But all other channels, I was there.
Yeah.
I loved my freedom too much. Mm-hmm. That was it. So going back to what you did the past 2 years, what's ego going to do? Ego doesn't feed you. Ego doesn't put a roof on your head. Those some, you know, I guess Hollywood would say otherwise. But I found sharing what I knew. When people would say, how do you do that? Oh, okay, yeah, it's a module. Knowledge is power and knowledge is money. And then can you teach it? Because some do, but some cannot teach. Guess what? I was able to teach. And I've always wanted to be a teacher. That's really the truth in my heart. And, you know, I've always wanted to be a teacher. So instead of having to teach a subject that I have to get a master's for or something, maybe one day I'll do it. But yeah, it just really, share everything that I love aligned. I found a market, an audience, you know, clients who ask for it. And who am I to say, nah. It was just, yeah, it came. And it was just sharing. I actually have this 20 minutes, it's like a TED talk. And one of the things I said, it's like to motivate yourself and all that. It's not about you. I have thought bubbles that I address. So one of my thought bubbles is, it's really not about you. I may have acquired all this, worked on this, but you see me when I host also, Sammy. The first thing I do and last thing I do is this. It's like, thank you. Help channel it through me. I give it back to you. Because if I just rely on like, yeah, I got it. It ends at a dead end, you know, at just a wall. You're a dead end, you know. But if you channel it back up there, you are made of greater stuff.
Wow. Thank you for giving us the perfect segue for our topic today. I think that's fantastic that you didn't stop at just being a host, but you shared her knowledge. Many things. And then, yeah, I think really this is coming from a place of like wanting to share what you have learned in, you know, all the years that you've had in the industry and all that stuff. And again, I mean, you know, very few people manage to work as much as you did during the pandemic, I think. And that's one thing that I noticed about you. But you know what? It wasn't surprising because even prior to that, like in all the years I've known you, you were one of the most hardworking people that I've known. And so, yeah, maybe it's not a shocker. But yes, let us get to our topic for today.
Speaking of this time, this dark, challenging time, why do you think our generation, our people living in this time is calling this the end of time? When honestly, looking at history, you know, that's why there was the Renaissance. There was that, you know, was that the time of the plague? I'm not a big historian. My grandpa was. But at least just look through history. Come on. First World War, Second World War. Don't you think those were the darkest of times as well? So why are you claiming this to be now? Once upon a time, the flu was their COVID. Scarlet fever was, you know, COVID too. So yeah, why are you thinking this is the now?
Is that something you hear often from the people around you even?
Some think it, yeah. Yeah. I've heard. But for me, it's like, again, maybe it's back to ego. Why are you claiming to be now when so many greater minds and periods of history, again, have shown and gone through that? Because I'm sure that's why the best works were written, were recorded, right? That's why we talk about it. We study it.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's the number one question. If someone were to tell me, you know, this is the fulfillment of this, or this is the, you know, the time of the end. I mean, that's the question you have to ask. Well, how do you, like, what makes you believe that? How in the world would you think that? Because you're not wrong. I mean, if you think about from the time that, you know, Jesus walked this earth to now, there hasn't been any time that the world has been at peace or at rest, right? There's famines and earthquakes and wars and, you know, religious conflict basically every single day for the last 2000 years. So yeah, it's a great question to, you know, to try to dive into. There's no one simple answer as far as making someone understand it, I guess, in just one simple sentence. But the easiest way to just explain it is fulfillment of prophecy. Like if I had to sum it up in just one, you know, one little, you know, sentence, like one statement, fulfillment of prophecy. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Like all the things that are happening in the world, those things don't matter at all unless they have something to do with the fulfillment of prophecy.
Maybe we can start with the definition of this term, because I think when a lot of people say end of time, end of the world, end of the age, they're actually referring to the end of the physical world. Like the planet is going to end. We're all going to die. Life, like life as we know it is coming to an end. But I think I've had enough conversations about this on this podcast with you and everyone who's been on this show that really, if we're going to talk about end of time, end of the age, according to the Bible, that's not what we're talking about. Right?
Day of judgment. Is that where we're going? Day of judgment?
Yeah, judgment is right there too. That's one of the big ones. I was kind of leaving that for the, you know, the up and coming one, because we're talking about heaven and earth, sun, moon and stars, which has everything to do with what you just said. Right?
You're right. And I'm really glad that we're doing both topics with Isa, because I think they're very related.
Oh, fully.
Yeah, right. So we can kind of break down, I think, the figurative language about it that we see in the Bible on the upcoming episode. But on this one, first, I feel like we need to establish what is it that we mean when we say end of time, end of the age, because we're not talking about the end of the physical world. And so put that to the side, because that's not what we're talking about. I think when we look in the Bible, we're talking about the end of a generation or the end of an era and the beginning of a new one. So okay, I think we need to clarify that.
Yeah. If you put it that way, Sam, then I would actually withdraw my question.
No. Keep the question.
Keep the question.
You just answered it. Eras are defined by significant moments in history. That's why you define that era.
Okay. Right? So I mean, I think that can maybe apply to like things that happen in society or just the world in general. But if we're going to take it to the Bible, that's a different thing, I think. And this is where the second coming comes in, I think, because Instructor Aaron, the first coming was also the end of
an era,
right?
Not just beginning there. It actually, when you look at the Bible, one of the most amazing things about it is that there's a logic to it. And this is why the Bible's written the way that it is, why God put this particular information in the Bible. So many people look at the Bible and they think of it as like a history book or an archaeological book, or it's like all the knowledge of God or something that we're supposed to have. And it's just not the case. It's the Bible itself has a specific purpose, and it's meant to tell us what God, you know, meant to happen in the beginning, right? What happened instead, which was, of course, the betrayal and destruction that you're talking about, and then what God has been doing each and every generation in order to recreate it. So again, this is going to be a lot when we talk about the heaven and earth, sun, moon, and stars. But when you talk about a generation or an era, there's different generations or different eras that have existed in the Bible. So the first one was what we call the era of Adam, right? The era of Adam and Noah. And that one's a very common story, right? We all know it. Like Adam was the one that was chosen by God. God begins to create his world around Adam. But unfortunately, Adam betrays. He is deceived by the serpent. He ends up betraying God. And as a result of that, eventually judgment comes upon them. Yeah. And it comes through, of course, him choosing Noah.
Cast out.
Yeah, first they're thrown out of the Garden of Eden, which that's horrible. And then the whole generation comes to an end. And the only ones that are saved are Noah and his small family, because they're the only ones that are still faithful to God at that time. So he protects them, and then he brings that generation to an end. And then it becomes the era of, you know, Noah's family. But quickly, there's, again, a moment where Satan enters into Noah's family through his son, you know, Ham and his grandson, Canaan. And they do a, it's a particular act that they do that God considers to be unrighteous and sinful. So there's a curse that's put upon them. And one of the more famous stories is when they leave Egypt, right? The Israelites leave Egypt and they go into the land of Canaan. You know, after 40 years wandering in the desert, that's where that curse is actually fulfilled. Where the people of Canaan, that was actually, you know, Noah's grandson. That's where they came from. They are then taken over. But the generation of Noah, it comes to an end when the time of Egypt, right? When they leave Egypt, called the Exodus. So then you have this period of Exodus where all these people come out of, you know, Egypt. And I'm skipping a lot of stuff, but, you know, just to give you an idea. But this is when they're creating, God is recreating his kingdom once again. Now, those people also betray. They go into the desert and Noah's on the mountain for like 40 days. Okay, he's up there. That's when he gets the Ten Commandments. He's up there for like 40 days. And they're like, we don't know what happened.
Sorry, did you say Noah or?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Moses. Yes. Thank you for correcting me.
Moses, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Look at me, Moses. Narin. Oh, I know my Bible now.
Very good, Tina. Sorry.
No, please. I'm thinking it and then my mouth doesn't work. So if we go to, it's Moses being on the mountain for 40 days and he's getting the, you know, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. But the people are basically saying, we don't know what happened to this guy, right? He's been gone. We don't know if he's going to be coming back. So that's when Aaron, which is Moses's brother, actually, he's the one that makes the golden calf and they start worshiping the golden calf. So that right there, that's betrayal. But then even more so when God brings them into the promised land, because they could have gone in, they could have gone in within just a couple of weeks. They would have been into the promised land. But instead of just going in, they have this idea of sending people in first to actually spy out the land. God actually didn't want that. Like many people don't know that about it, but God didn't say, hey, go spy out the land first. He just says, go in. But they're like, you know, well, we're not sure. So we'd like to send spies.
Oh, they doubted God, basically.
Yeah. And Moses brings that idea to God and God's like, okay, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. But they should have just gone in. That would have been real faith if they just would have been, you know, going in. So they come and then we have the story of the 12 spies, 10 of them that say, there's no way we can do this. Two of them that say, yes, we can do it. Right. But then they refuse to go in. So that entire generation is wiped out. That 40 years in the desert, all those people of that particular age, they're all, God says no one was going to enter into the promised land. Your next generation will go in. So then they go into the promised land and they take it over. And then you have a period of what's called the judges. So each one of these is a different era. There's like a time period. There's a huge, you know, shift in what happens in God's kingdom. They call a paradigm shift or an epoch event, you know? So then you have the period of the judges and then they come to an end because the people call out for a king. And God's like, you don't want a king. A king is going to abuse you. He's going to use you for his own benefit. You want to just do what I'm telling you. No, everybody else in the world has a king. We feel like we need a king. Okay, fine. So God gives him a king. And sure enough, you know, they end up taking, you know, being taken over by the king itself. And it's the king that actually causes the downfall, you know, King Solomon. He's the one that betrays God once again by worshiping many different gods. So that period comes to an end. And then you have the period of the prophets where God is now explaining. And this carries us over right to what we were talking about, because the judgment that comes, actually, it was already prophesied in the Old Testament to happen in the exact same way that Revelation or Matthew 24 talks about the second coming. If you read books like Malachi or Habakkuk, you know, even Isaiah, it talks about the destruction that comes upon God's people. The day of the Lord is going to burn like a furnace. All the stars and all the sun, moon, and stars is going to come dark and fall away. And a new heaven and new earth will be created. And when did that happen? That happened, of course, when Jesus came at the time of the first coming. So when we talk about the end of an era or the end of the age, right? The end of the age. This is what Jesus meant in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 39, he says, the harvest is the end of the age, right? The harvest is the end of the age. So something has to come to an end. It's not the whole world. It's not, you know, physical destruction of the earth, just like you mentioned. If you look at like Ecclesiastes was actually written by, you know, Solomon as well. In chapter 1, verse 4, it says, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever, right? The earth remains forever. But then there's other verses that say the heavens and the earth will be destroyed. So that's why you have to understand, you know, really more of what it's talking about.
Right.
That's scary.
I was just, I'm not sure if this might lose the train of thought that we already have now, but as you mentioned earlier, Instructor Aaron, about fulfillment of prophecy. I didn't know until I started studying the Bible with Sam that the book of Revelation is actually a book of prophecy. Is that why a lot of people are having a hard time understanding the book? Because they don't know that it's actually a book of prophecy?
Well, that's one reason, because they don't understand what it's talking about or who it's talking to. Right. And prophecies are never meant for the people in that generation that it's written. It's meant for a future generation. Right. It's meant for the people when it's being fulfilled. The prophecies themselves become relevant to those people in that, in, you know, in that generation, because God uses the prophecy to prove his work. This is what I meant by saying, how can you tell? Right. How can you tell? Because prophecy is being fulfilled. That's the only way that you can tell. It's not by miracles. It's not by, you know, signs and wonders, because God says that actually even Satan can do signs and wonders and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. So the only way that you can actually know is if prophecy is being fulfilled. But the only way you know that is if you know the prophecies.
That's what I was going to, that's why I said that's scary, because yes, you're, whoever wrote it, obviously it's not where or when the prophecy is going to happen. And sometime in the future, you also don't know where or when that, oh, he was talking about us.
Mm.
Because as you so nicely put, from Adam to everyone was wiped out. That's why I said that's scary.
It's not as if they didn't know. Like Noah was telling them for a long time.
Right.
A long time.
Because I don't think it just comes upon people with zero notice, right? Time and time again, we see in the Bible that God chooses somebody to announce it. Like, this is it, guys. This is going to happen. Okay, Noah said, get in the ark. Moses got the Israelites out of Egypt. Jesus said, come to me, you know, whatever, leave behind, whatever, because I'm the fulfillment, come to me. We know these people as Christians today, but the thing is, we're promised a second coming in the Bible. And it's the same thing, because there are prophecies about what is supposed to happen. I think what Instructor Aaron is saying is we know that the time has come when the fulfillment comes. But how do we know that? Someone has to testify it, right?
I like what Sam pointed out, that someone, there's a herald. There's someone chosen.
Right. The prophets were people like that. You know, all of these main characters. And it's so interesting to me, because I used to think the Bible, the stories in the Bible, were random stories, isolated stories. And sure, we were supposed to learn something from them, but actually they're all related. And if you do believe that the Bible is God's salvation plan, it's how God's salvation plan played out. And it has something to do with me today, right? It shows what God's story is. And so if we're promised a second coming and there are prophecies about a second coming,
there has to be a chosen.
Yeah, there has to be someone who is chosen at the time these prophecies fulfill, and we're supposed to hear. Like, okay, these things are fulfilling. Why don't you come and listen? And the thing is, Shinchanji is doing that right now. And has it happened before? Yes. I think... And this is something that has come up a few times on the podcast, Instructor Aaron, but we never really made a full episode about it, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people come here and say, well, why is this the testimony? Because many have claimed in the past that they understand the book of Revelation. This is supposed to happen. That is supposed to happen. Well, the thing is, none of them happened. And I think that is what led to a lot of people thinking, well, what is the difference with this one? Right. And you have said in the past, Instructor Aaron, that yes, it's, I think that's a valid thing to think and feel, but you can't stop that from actually, you can't have that stop you from actually checking out a testimony when it is being shared.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a big difference between, like you said, we've talked about this in the past, a commentary or someone proclaiming that they know what's going to happen, as opposed to a testimony, which is a witness of what has happened, right? Huge difference between those two, right? You don't call somebody to court to testify about what they think is going to happen in the future, right? You call somebody to court because they witnessed an event and you want to hear their testimony, right? That's like a big thing that's going on. Even right now, you know, when you talk about like Johnny Depp and all the things that are happening, right? I mean, that's like it's actually taking place. And this is really important because inside of that particular court case, one of the biggest things that keeps being said is hearsay, right? Hearsay, hearsay, hearsay. There's no facts.
Who was actually there?
Exactly.
That's why it's called witness.
Exactly.
Right? Not what
and
you
that's
heard.
That's a huge difference. A huge difference, right? A huge difference. So if you're a literal witness to it, but this is the other key. Now, if you're witnessing something, but you think it's the fulfillment, right? You think it is just because of what you believe, that's not right either, right? You can't determine whether or not something is the fulfillment of God's prophecy unless God himself is the one that's actually fulfilling it and making it known. So this is how God works inside of, you know, the Bible. This is why the Bible is so important, because it details how God works. So there's verses like Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, Amos, again, another prophet. And when we talk about the Bible, you always have to remember, it's not the prophet that's speaking, it's God speaking through the person. So really, you're supposed to really think of it as, I'm listening to the voice of God. I'm reading, you know, God's word. I'm hearing it from God's lips, not the person. The person's more like just a vessel being used to make it known. Kind of like when you write down, when you're writing in your notebook, it's not the pen, but it's you using the pen, right? The pen itself is just an object, right? Did you have a question?
Unfortunately, man is built to question where the message is coming from.
I think that's healthy.
Yeah, who are you to say, right? Just, of course, the elections are coming up. Mm. So it's the whole why. What are your credentials? You know, it's not just what you've done. Who are you? You know, what got you there?
Deuteronomy 18 is a really important one because it talks about that. It says, if somebody who has presumed to speak on my behalf, if these things do not come true, then that person has spoken presumptuously. Do not listen to them. You know, so God actually brings up, he does talk about that. Yeah.
But that's what's scary. Whoever that is probably already had followers to begin already.
Oh, it's happened.
And they will follow him blindly because he's been leading the way for how long?
Yep.
And we see so many other communities spring up.
Yeah.
And we have a few of those here.
Exactly.
In the country.
All over the world, right? I think now, at any given time, there's like, you know, a dozen or so people that claim to be Jesus at any given time.
Or witnessed.
Right.
I'm not going to go to that claiming to be, because that's really like, you know, come on, who's to say? But at least to have witnessed that I'm the sent, I'm the one sent, I'm the one chosen. Right. Those claims are scary.
I know. So you have to have a way to verify, right? You have to way to be able to prove them either right or wrong. Because what if they are right? I mean, this is the other thing too. The first thing that Jesus says in Matthew 24, when the disciples ask him, you know, what are the signs going to be? Like, what are we looking for? And he says, watch out that no one deceives you. Because many will come in my name claiming to be the Christ, you know, or claiming that there's something. So you're right. I mean, we really do have to be careful. You really do. And that's why the first time anybody says something like that, of course, there's going to be, you know, red flags, and there's going to be all that, you know, your antenna is going to go up and go, ooh, wait a minute, you know, like what's going on here? So that's why prophecy, again, that's why prophecies are so important. See that verse in Amos chapter 3, verse 7 that I was going to say, it says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without first revealing it to his prophets. So God doesn't work randomly. He works through by first telling us that it's going to happen. And then Jesus said something very, very similar and really important in John 14. John 14 is really important because he's also saying, hey, if you don't believe in me, at least believe in the work that I'm doing. Because the work that he was doing was fulfilling God's promise, right? So it didn't matter if you didn't like the person. If he's actually doing the work of the fulfillment, no one can do that unless God allows him to. That's the other key. Right? If God's the one that actually prophesied it, only God can fulfill it. No man can do it, right? So nobody's going to do it perfectly. It has to be done exactly according to what God desires. So in John 14 and verse 29, Jesus says, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. So if you break that down a little bit, right, I have told you now, meaning the believers, right? He told us before it happens. That's prophecy, right? I'm telling you all the things that's going to happen. I'm telling you before they happen, because there has to be evidence. I'm laying down all this evidence so that you're going to have the ability to believe. And how do you believe? It says, so when it does happen, when the prophecy is actually being fulfilled, you'll believe in it. So the prophecy becomes the evidence, right? And then the fulfillment has to fit like a, it's got to be like a stamp. It's not, you know, almost fitting well. It's not, well, most of it's right. You know, if you ignore this part, it fits, you know, it can't be like that. It has to be a perfect fit. So that's why knowing the prophecy is important.
Like in theater parlance, it would be like you're handed a screenplay. This is how it's going to play out, Isa. Okay. This person's going to do this. This person's going to enter and say that. And this is the situation. And then this is how it's going to end. I think that is what prophecy is, right? And just going back to what Tina said earlier about, because I think, yes, there's still a lot of disagreement on like what the genre of the book of Revelation is. Is it prophecy or not? I've heard a few different things just on this podcast, but I feel like if you read the book of Revelation, right, like the first three sentences already tell you this is a book of prophecy. Another thing that I also wanted to touch on was like this whole credential thing, right? Like when we look at these people who are claiming to have seen, claiming to have had an understanding.
How credible are you?
Yeah, because I think maybe we tend to look into like, okay, well, who is this person? What is maybe the educational background? What has this person achieved and all those things? But the thing is, in the Bible,
yeah, they weren't perfect. No, exactly.
Like, far from perfect. Nobody came forward saying like, I have a master's degree, guys. Yeah. I have a doctorate in whatever. Therefore, I'm speaking.
Usually the opposite.
Exactly. It's the opposite.
Well, there's
tax
a verse
collectors,
that,
fishermen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a verse that says that God actually, you look at the outside, but I search, you know, the inside. You know, I'm looking at the inside, but man looks at the outside.
Right. So I want to take it back to like the original question, right? Hmm. Which is,
why now?
How do we know? Yeah. Why is it now? And how do we know that it's now when there is a church that claims this?
Look at the time of the first coming, right? How would you have known?
First coming of Jesus is... Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I should clarify that. So at the time when Jesus actually was walking the earth, and he was proclaiming that this is, you know, the time, the kingdom of the first words he says, right after he's baptized in Matthew 4, verse 17, the kingdom of heaven is near. So he's basically saying now's the time, right? John the Baptist was the one that came first. And he was saying someone's coming, right? Someone's coming. And
I'm not worthy to
die
or touch a sandal, something. Yeah,
exactly. Right. And I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with fire. Right. The axe is at the root of the trees. You know, he's going to come with his winnowing fork. He's going to burn away all the chaff. I mean, it sounds really destructive, right? If you go back to Malachi, if you look at Malachi 3 and 4, the last book of the Bible, of the Old Testament, right? The last, that was basically their Bible at that time. And so Malachi is basically what Revelation is to us. It says the day of the Lord is going to be like this. So before that time comes, he says there will be one that prepares the way. So this is now understanding, how do we know what time it is? You have to know what's happening. If you know what's happening and what's meant to happen, and then if it actually happens, then it has to be the time. Basically, that's it. So at the time of the first coming, before the one that was meant to come has to come, there has to be another first, right? And that other person was John the Baptist. He was the one that was testifying that the other is coming. So it starts like that. But this is something that God has actually been using as a precedence in the Old Testament, even before that time. And we talked about Moses. And when Moses went into the land of Egypt to bring the people out, he didn't want to go first off. He never felt worthy, right? He keeps telling God, I don't speak well. I'm not good. Don't send me, right? You know, okay? So he didn't have the talent like we were talking about before, right? He had to be taught that, right? He had to grow into that.
You know? Okay. Yeah. Gosh.
It's true.
Nobody gonna be like me. That goes for everyone. Okay. Everyone should say that.
Amen.
My new mantra. Yes.
The new mantra. You got to put it on the wall. Here we go.
Yeah.
So before he gets, before he goes in, actually God says, fine, I'll send your brother Aaron and he will go in. So Aaron goes in first and he says, my brother's coming and God is with him. You need to listen to him. Right. So Aaron was the one that prepared the way for Moses. Then you carry it over to the time of the first coming. John the Baptist came first and his job was to testify about the coming of Jesus. But then Jesus himself was like, okay, I've got a testimony that's weightier, right? It's bigger, it's heavier. Meaning John the Baptist is like, hey, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Jesus is like, I'm here. But at the time, nobody believed that. Right. The leaders at the time were like, are you kidding? Like, who are you? Right. What are you talking about? What time? I don't see any destruction going on. I don't see all the chaos and, you know, the massive, you know, cataclysmic events that are meant to happen that have been promised in, you know, the Old Testament. None of that stuff is happening. So what are you talking about? It's happening right now. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is near. Right? The kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence. This is a really important one too. In Matthew chapter 11, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence and violent men take it by force. They're like, what are you talking about? How is that even possible? How can man take over heaven? They had no idea what he was talking about. Right? So at the time of the first coming, there's something that has to prepare the way. And then it ushers in the time of the fulfillment. Well, Revelation's no different. This is why it's so important to understand Revelation as a prophecy. Because it doesn't happen over a period of thousands of years. All the events have to take place at once. That's why you can verify everything happening in that generation. Just like all the prophecies of the Old Testament, they all were fulfilled from the time that John the Baptist was conceived and born to the time that Jesus died and resurrected. All of those, which was in about a 35-year period. That's it. All the prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled in that little tiny time. And most of them were in like 3.5 years from the time that Jesus started preaching to the time that he actually ascended into heaven. It was only about 3.5 years. It's really incredible. So the same thing when you talk about Revelation, that's why in the book of Revelation, like you said, the very beginning, it says, blessed are those who keep the words of this prophecy, right? Take to heart the words of this prophecy. And it says the same thing in the last chapter. Revelation 22, verse 7, blessed are those who keep the words of this prophecy. So it's telling us it's a book of prophecy.
So going back to the base question, you kind of answered it already. Revelations is the fulfillment of prophecy, which will always continue to be a way of preparation. It doesn't stop.
It's meant meant to keep us on our toes.
Yes.
And then when it actually is fulfilled, then our job, if you will, as a believer, is to believe in it.
Yes.
Right? To learn it and then believe in it. Yeah.
And so having said all of that, Shinshoji's proclaiming now that that time of fulfillment is now. It's now. That's why they're testifying about it. When you watch their seminars, these are all online. You can go and check that out yourself. I mean, they're not like full on telling you because there are people involved. There are places involved. There are dates and all those things. And they share all of this because the events that are prophesied in the book of Revelation, most of them took place already. And that's why they're able to tell us, this is what that means. This pertains to this place, this time, this person.
That's the witness part that Instructor Aaron was very, very clear and particular with. Because, again, dates, time, place, it's aligned, not just some of them happened and some didn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. See, in the Old Testament, God used a lot of miracles because there wasn't a lot of words. There wasn't a lot of the Bible written at that time. So when you think about like Noah, for example, they didn't have scriptures of prophecies that God is going to destroy the world. Yeah. So there's very physical things that actually took place at that time. Same thing at the time of, you know, Egypt. There wasn't a lot for them to actually, you know about. They knew about the stories of Adam and Noah. That's why when, you know, when God is calling him and he's like, well, who am I supposed to say sent me? And he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. So they must have known about those people, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, those names would mean nothing to them. They're like, yeah, so what does that mean, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, Abraham, who?
Who? Those are weird names, right? So then he goes in and he says those things, and there's very like deep miracles, the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, all of these things. But as you can see, those miracles didn't really help them to keep their faith, right? Within just that, like I said, 40 days.
They still doubted that, right?
Yeah. 40 days and he's like, I don't even know what happened, right? I don't know what this guy is or anything. But then at the time of the first coming, it was kind of like almost 50-50. God was using miracles. You have Jesus who turns the water to wine, walks on water, you know, things like this, right? Heals the blind, brings back the dead. So there's physical miracles, but the most important thing that he says was, you know, those who listen to me, those who hear my words, you will live. So to Jesus, the most important thing was not believing in the miracles, but believing in the fulfillment, the testimony that he was giving, because that's how you could believe in who he was. But in the time of Revelation, it's not about miracles.
Yeah.
We have, you know, 2,000 years of understanding that there's been prophecies that God has used. Prophecy and fulfillment. Prophecy and fulfillment. This is how God proves that he exists. Because the real key is that we have to be able to believe in the one true God and not believe in the false God, which is Satan. So how do you determine the two? Well, God is the creator and God has life. And God has life within his word, meaning if God promises something, it's going to be fulfilled. God can actually create things out of nothing. That's what makes him the creator. But Satan cannot do that. Satan cannot fulfill prophecy. He cannot create things to happen. So that's why God prophesies, because it's the only way that people can prove that's the one that God is using, right? That's the work of God, because it's fulfilling God's work, and Satan cannot do that. So in the time of Revelation, it's not about looking at the miracles, but about looking at the fulfillment of prophecy, which again, I go back to, that's why it's so important to even know them, right? Most people don't even know all the prophecies, and that's the problem. How do you, if you don't know them and someone's telling you that these things are being fulfilled, you can't put two and two together, right?
Yeah, wow. It's really still just aligning it to that first question we threw out, or yeah, what you were wanting, why now? For right. Me, it was answered. But it's still with caution, because again, who you listen to, you don't want to miss out. Instructor Aaron was just, how would you know if you didn't even bother listening, bother knowing? Then goes back to, how can you find out? Yeah, you can read. I don't understand it. Who do I listen to? Or that's back to, oh boy, here we go again. Who do I choose to listen to? You know?
Right, right. As I was thinking about this question today, I think, because it's been asked a few times already, as we have had these discussions with Instructor Aaron. And the thing that I was thinking about was, if you believe the Bible is the word of God, right? Which we do as Christians. And you also believe that there are two spirits that are working to hinder, well, Satan is trying to hinder God, right? That's also a core belief as Christians, right? And so, when we look at the state that we are in today about this whole second coming thing, and you know, there's a testimony, and like, I think everyone is just so jaded at this point because many have claimed it in the past, which then, yeah, gives us this mentality today of like, oh, here we go. It's another one, right? Whose work is that? Like, who would want you to think that, right? If you believe that there is an enemy that is working to hinder all of this, he would want this to be the case today, right? Like, he would do everything in his power to make like counterfeit versions of this so that when the actual fulfillment comes, everyone's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, you're confused. Ask him to listen to.
Muddy the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but I'm not saying like just because someone's claiming there's a testimony that, oh my goodness, automatically we should believe that, right? But I think we should definitely listen to it.
Keep an ear out.
I think caution is really good. I absolutely think everyone should approach this with caution and like a healthy dose of skepticism. And the only way we can really confirm that this is true is that, as we said earlier, we are given a screenplay. But is that easy to understand? It's not. But the person who is given the understanding and is testifying about this should be able to explain this word for word, verse for verse. And so far, Shinchenji is doing that. They're right. Doing it.
when you talk about the screenplay, maybe that'll be something we could talk about a little bit in the future, but that's where you get the difference between predestination and free will, which both exist in the Bible, right? There is verses that talk about predestination, and that's what you just, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you talk about how something is written ahead of time. It's predestined, but who plays the parts, right? That's not predestined. God chooses people at that specific time in order to play the parts. And that has everything to do with you and your heart. What are you willing to do, right? Are you willing to cleanse yourself? Are you willing to be someone that's faithful, or are you willing to let Satan use you? That type of thing. And so when we talk about how to prove it, the only way, really, the only way to prove it is by going through that systematic understanding, right? And that's why we teach it in this way. We teach all the figurative language. You teach every single prophecy word by word, just like you said, right? Verse by verse, word by word, starting from just the basic understandings of the figurative language. Because Jesus said, and this is where I know we have to wrap it up. So in John chapter 16, verse 25, Jesus says, although I'm speaking figuratively, right? So he says, I am speaking figuratively. Although I'm speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about the Father. So that's a huge sign. If there's a time in history where the Bible is no longer misunderstood, the Bible is no longer a mystery, all of those misunderstandings or things that people haven't understood, they're too grand and great in God's mind for us to understand. If that actually is put aside and people can explain the Bible perfectly, clearly, then that shows that that time has come. So God has made it clear that there will be signs that show us what time it is, and not just physical miracles. The biggest miracle, the greatest miracle, is the fact that something that has been sealed and hidden, a mystery that hasn't been understood for 2,000 years, and if you want to go back to Genesis, 6,000 years, is now being understood, you know, really simply, very clear. That's the biggest sign right there.
Or talked about. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. So that was just a taste of what's coming up, because with Isa, we're going to break down one of these parables or figurative languages sounds wrong. There's a lot of figurative language that is happening in the book of Revelation, and we're going to take a look at one of those. And this is a really, really interesting one. Sun, moon, and stars, heaven, earth, maybe the biggest reason why people look at the book of Revelation and think that this is the end of the world, like the physical world. But, you know, we're going to break that down and we're going to take a look. What does this really mean? Isa?
It puts things in perspective. And like I said, pretty much halfway through our discussion already, it's like, I withdraw my question.
I know.
Because I was already it made sense. That's it. But yeah, we at least from withdrawing that, because now it made sense. How we started it, I was like, why now? Why physical? But that's not what we were talking about. Yeah. So when Instructor Aaron and even you start talking about fulfillment of prophecy and why, you know, okay, claims, you know, the dangers with claims like that. And if you're not well informed, we tackled all that already, how it's been written, how it shows in history, how people are chosen, why we need to have that little extra caution, you know, proceed with care, but keep your ear out, keep listening. It's not an excuse to not be informed. So it is a process.
Thanks for so nicely summarizing our discussion today.
We're all hosts here. So
this is
sorry.
Why she does what she does.
I didn't turn that off. So sorry. It just always happens with discussions.
No, it was good. Yeah, it was great. Are you working on a TV show right now? Should people be watching out for something that you're doing?
Oh, He's Into Her. It's on I Want TFC. It's with Belle Mariano and Donnie Pangilinan. So yeah, we're in episode 3 tonight, actually launched tonight. So it's season 2 of He's Into Her.
Tita what Macy role do you play?
I'm Tita Macy. I'm Belle's or Max's stepmom. And I love her story. I love her arc. I love this
character so much. Are you like an evil stepmom or are you a nice stepmom?
Watch the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll have to watch.
Yes. But I've always been blessed.
No spoilers.
I've always been blessed to play certain roles that will never be black and white. Even when I took on Lady Macbeth, one of my biggest compliments after a couple of shows were audience members going up to me to say, I never thought I would feel sorry for Lady Macbeth.
Oh, wow.
And that's like, please. I did my job then.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did your job very well today, too. Of thank just, you know, yeah, listening to what Instructor Aaron has to say.
More? Wait. We're still going to go to the next one.
Yes, we are. So hang in there as well. as we said, in the next episode, we're going to talk about the sun, moon, stars, heaven, earth. All these natural celestial bodies are coming up on the next episode. But thank you so much for joining us for this one. If you guys want to get in touch with us, yeah, thenarrowdoorpodcast@gmail.com is our email address. Where else you can see Instructor Aaron and Tina Ryan, and of course, Isa as well. We're going to link it down below in the show description. We'll see you next time. Bye, guys.